Up Fool Podcast. What's up, fool? We're back. We're back for the What's Up Fool Podcast. We have Rodrigo Torres here, man.
Hello.
Lisa Esparza taking notes. Our new guest. We have a guest, Larry Omaha.
I'm not taking over.
The one and only.
What's up, fool? Man, what you do last weekend, bro?
Last weekend? I had a spot on Friday and Thursday.
We had a show right where?
Over there. In, one show was in Pomona, and another one was in Boyle Heights at that little art gallery.
The art gallery, what street was that on? On First Street?
Just say Soto Street.
No, it's before. It's like borderline Boyle Heights right there. Little hip.
People be claiming Boyle Heights, and they're Boyle Heights, huh?
Well, Boyle Heights has been on a upswing the last 5 years, dude.
People be like, I'm in the East Side. Okay, East LA, no Hollywood.
BH, dog.
There ain't no East Side. Hollywood ain't no East Side, man.
Yeah, dude.
Who's come in here, man? They get like new people come in, like hipsters from other neighborhoods, from other parts of the country. They come over here, bro. They get scared, bro. There's no culture here, bro. You hang around with the same fools, bro.
What culture do they have, though?
They always say, there's no culture here, bro. You hang around with the same white people over and over. Make friends that are not white. You'll get culture, motherfucker. You don't have to go to Thailand, bro. You go to fucking Thai town. You can buy exotic stuff right there, bro. Bro, you could be a Thai town, which is only like 3 blocks, all Thai stuff. You could walk into one of those markets, grab stuff, take it back to whatever state you come from, and lie and say you went to Thailand and nobody even talked.
Get a massage, all that.
All that, dude. Not even a massage, but just take the stuff from the store, bro. Like stuff. Oh, shit, they have fucking Kit Kat made of fucking green tea.
Yeah.
Those are bomb. Like,
you had them?
I like them, yeah.
You like green tea ice cream, though, right?
Yeah.
I get Thai town confused with Tokyo, town. Little Tokyo.
Really?
One from the other.
Little Tokyo smaller, I think. It's not about the same.
Really? It's like
Little Tokyo is like four small, blocks.
If that,
two blocks.
Right?
If from First Street to Alameda. Yeah. First Street to Third and then back.
Yeah, right there would have those stores.
Skid Row.
Yeah, that's it.
What's up, Larry Omaha, man?
Oh, man, I can't believe it. It's been too long, brother.
Too long, bro. We're at the airport, bro. We saw your ad for Verizon or Sprint.
Sprint, dude.
you should have brought that poster and gave it to me, man.
I thought we were trying to take it, bro.
It's tight, dude.
Nobody believed it. We know that guy. No, he don't.
Yeah,
and somebody else called me. They go, look in the episode of Business Week magazine. You got the full page, Larry.
Yeah. It was a full page.
I don't mess around, I guess.
So you still you still go for auditions?
Yeah, I still audition. I had 4 auditions last week. Four disappointments last week.
So you submit yourself or your agent?
No, I got an agent who submits me.
Yeah. Your same agent?
I've had him for about 7, 8, 9 years, man. Yeah,
it's a long time, bro.
I know,
it's a decade.
Yeah,
I auditioned for I'm auditioning for that show on Netflix. I don't know if I can talk about it.
Which one?
No.
No, so I'm auditioning for a show on Netflix that's been on for like.
But you can say you're going to be on Hentified.
Yeah, I'm going to be on Hentified, bro.
Starts this fall.
Gentified.
On Netflix.
This fall?
This fall on Netflix. We don't know exactly the date yet. And
I play a guy named Crazy Dave. Bro.
That's set in Boyle Heights, too.
Yeah, set in Boyle Heights.
Typecast again, man.
I get excited, bro. When I see Mexicans.
Down the street from his sister's
when I see Mexican Americans on TV or in the movies. Like, I'm talking about Mexican-American. I'm not talking about somebody who came from Mexico and he's from Mexico and like an actor from Mexico who got a role in America to play a Mexican. Okay, I don't get as excited for him, bro, because he still lives in Mexico.
Accent
actors? He's fucking Mexican. Or a Venezuelan guy playing a Mexican guy. I don't care. He's a good actor. Because some guys, you know, from Peru, wherever they're from, Spain, or from fucking New Zealand. Some of them play good Mexicans, bro. But I don't get excited when I see them. I get excited that it's them because I know him from another movie. But when it's a real Mexican-American, bro, I get super excited, bro.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like I'm in there, bro. Or even if they shoot, oh, come on now. Eric Rivera's here, bro. Lay the fuck. What's up, fool? Eric Rivera's here. I thought we started the show without him, bro.
We should have waited, right?
Coming in like a ninja.
Oh, man.
What's up, brother?
We'll cut everything in. What's up, fool? Rodrigo Torres here. Eric Rivera, co-host of the week. And Lisa Esparza, Larry Omaha. Have you met Eric Rivera before?
I don't. Have we met officially?
I don't think officially. I think we've been on shows together.
That happens a lot with me. I'm on shows with the young guys, but I don't really get to know them that well, so I forget.
I know, man. Like, I met him before because we did a show. Him and I did a show together in D.C. for the back then it was called. I don't even know what it was called back then.
National Council of Lhasa.
Wow.
And then LULAC was another one, right?
Wow, LULAC.
And now it's called what is it called now?
Unidos.
Yeah. Unidos.
That means together, right?
But are they together with LULAC or no?
No, I think they're all separate.
Yeah. They don't get
LULAC is like a scholarship organization, I think, right? Isn't it a?
That's funny. Right, Paulo Julia had a joke. He said, "Man, we got the National Council of Raza and LULAC, two Latino organizations that don't get along. The only time they got together was to take down my show and then to take down the Pollo Loco dog."
Yeah, they said there was too many people in one house. That's why I took AK Pablo off.
He said that was the only reason they got together. The only time the National Council of Raza, Unidos now, and LULAC got together was they got together to take down the AK Paul show.
AK Pablo
and try to take down the Pollo Loco dog.
Taco Bell dog.
Yeah. What am I talking about?
He likes burritos. They made him
chicken. That Paul G was a Pollo Loco guy too, bro.
Yeah,
no. Super Pepsi.
Taco dog. Taco Bell dog and Pollo Loco chicken.
Yeah.
Get it straight.
Yeah.
That was crazy, huh?
But National Council of Raza doesn't exist anymore, right? They got rid of that.
No, they changed the name to Unidos.
Yeah, we're out of trouble giving no funding, bro.
Well, they'd rather have, instead of National Council of La Raza, they have all Puerto Ricans, Chileans, everybody under the umbrella, opposed to being just like Mexican.
I think they also wanted to avoid the word
Raza.
It sounds a little militant, I think.
Yeah, but it's connected to Mexican people.
No, they probably stopped because Martin said stop using my word.
Martin doesn't even take it in. He's like, I don't talk like that, eh? Yes, you do, eh?
I know, bro. Larry Omaha, you know Toby Hicks, right?
Yeah.
He's from Omaha.
Right.
I grew up the street.
You know
from
his
here.
Family? He claimed that his family is so the most famous family.
They know everybody.
Never heard of him.
Wow. Omaha know my grandfather. He went to the Husky game with him. With his season ticket.
No, I didn't know Toby until I moved out here. Because
you heard of him. Toby. You brought him to the Wild Coyote. You brought him to Tortillas.
I think so.
Toby told him about the room.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Him, Jackson McQueen. A lot of brothers.
Where'd you start at, Larry?
LA? I started in Nebraska, man. My first time ever getting on stage, an open mic.
Eddie Grill.
At some bar.
What bar?
It was some Irish bar. And as soon as they introduced me, a fight broke out in the audience.
I want to dance.
And I was so naive and stupid. I'm on stage telling jokes, thinking my jokes were going to stop the fight. I was stupid.
You're
going to
bring
man.
The peace with the humor.
Unido.
Chairs were flying, and that was it.
Really?
But yeah, I worked maybe once a week for a year in Nebraska, and then I go, okay, I'm ready for Hollywood. I moved out here in 1980, man.
1980.
Wow.
June 22nd, 1980.
What was your first spot? LA Cabaret or?
No, my first spot, Improv, my Igby? First night doing comedy in LA was the Comedy Store. And I was so naive. I signed up at 6 p.m. and they said, okay, you're going on about third. I go, great. Well, I didn't know what third meant in Comedy Store language. It meant 1 a.m. So I go up about 1 or 1:30 a.m. and there's only about two or three drunks left. And, of course, you know, you get no laughs. And I walk out of there depressed. I was so depressed. I didn't go on stage for two or three weeks afterwards, man. And then the next time I went up was some little room in the Valley. Got big laughs. I go, oh, I am funny. Let's go. So that got me back on track.
My first time, one of the open mics I did was at 1:30 in the morning at the Comedy Store.
Damn.
And I was up there just chilling, you know, doing my jokes to a little crowd. Mm. There was like 17 people, but they were not sitting together. But it was like a single man's club, I guess.
Scattered.
Everybody was doing homework, bro. Their desk. It felt like traffic school. And the next day, and I remember being bummed out. I said, man, fuck this. You know, right? But I didn't say fuck the Comedy Store. I just say fuck this, you know. He goes, I need a sign or something, you know. The next day, bro, fucking Northridge Earthquake, bro, rocked the fuck out of the Valley.
So it was 94.
94, I think. Yeah. That was my first time.
Yeah.
That was your sign?
That was your sign.
I never heard that story before.
Wow. I didn't know I was doing comedy that long. You know what I mean? 94 to like, I think I was T-Sun, right? I was like, the Northridge was called, I was like open micer.
And I remember, you said it was right when Philip was about one.
Yeah. And I put I remember putting a list. Chewy was there. It was the fucking they have the big pickle jar. You put your name in there.
Yeah, right.
And fill it out. I was stupid back then, man.
We all were.
I wish I was smarter. Like, if I would have known then, like potluck people, I would have signed my name 10 times, bro, and put it in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I remember some comic would do that. But the one comic, I forgot his name, he put his name, and his name came up for midnight, and then it came up again for 1:30. He did both spots.
Are you serious?
Yeah, the two different sets?
He was the first guy from the potluck to get banned.
Because of that?
Well, you get banned for doing other shit, but this guy did he went double.
Oh, shit. Well, all I remember about that first year here in L.A., 1980, I was working day job at Sportsman's Lodge. You know Sportsman's Lodge? A big, giant hotel in the valley. I was their house painter. And I would go to work every morning at 6 a.m. so tired from being out doing open mics all night that I'd be so tired. I would look for a place to sleep somewhere in the hotel. But first, I would tape up wet paint signs all around certain areas so they thought I'd been working all morning. Then I go to sleep. Dude. Had to, man. You had to figure out, you know, how to work the system.
Put a little paint on your face, made it look like you were busy.
I had on painted clothes. So I did that for like 2 years.
Where's Picasso? He's sleeping. He's taking a nap.
Man, this guy works hard, but nothing's painted.
We never see him, but he's always getting shit done.
He got paint all over his clothes. And
where's that pesky file?
That was my first year, man. Just hustling. And
what was comedy like back then? Like, were there more rooms than they are now?
I don't think there were more rooms.
Was it easier to find or hard to find?
There were like probably 8 good rooms back then.
Were they hard to find? Would you find them in LA Weekly or?
No, yeah, LA Weekly.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth and LA Weekly. We all knew where they were. All up and down Hollywood Boulevard and Sunset Boulevard. And then, you had the main ones, Improv Comedy Store, Laugh Stop at that time in the Valley.
There was a Laugh Stop in the Valley?
It was called the Laugh Stop in the where it became the LA Cabaret.
What was that, about Balboa and Ventura?
Yeah. Yeah, and that was dynamite place.
That was two rooms, man.
Yeah,
right?
The lounge and the main room. And it was a fantastic room from the time I came to town in 80 until it got resold. It got sold to somebody in about 88. It was sold out every night, 6 nights a week.
In 88?
From 80 to 88.
Wow.
So it was called Laugh Stop then.
It was called the Laugh Stop.
Hot.
Comedy was hot.
Sold out, huh?
Yeah.
Everywhere. I remember like looking at the photos and your photo there like with the drink and shit or tux, all happy. And then like, but there was some people there that didn't, like, I ended up meeting him later. But they looked like it was like, it had this moment, you know, where everything was hot and you were having a lot of fun.
Yo, it was a blast. I mean, I was in heaven.
Was there a lot of Latino comedians out there or just you and Paul Rodriguez?
No, it was Paul and Danny Mora.
Danny Mora and George Lopez?
George came along about the late 80s.
Yeah. So you got to see a lot of these guys when they first started.
How about those other guys? Like, what was that? There was one guy that was funny, but he was like a player. He was Montgomery Monroe or something like that.
I don't know that name. I don't know that name.
Clifton Monroe. I don't know.
Oh, are you talking about Andy Kaufman's thing?
No, I'm not.
That's Tony Clifton.
Tony Clifton, yeah.
Not his name, man. Anyways.
Raul Julia.
What am I talking about? No, yeah, the mustard.
There's a Latino guy that had a basic name, right? It wasn't a Latino name.
Yeah.
That's back when you guys. Danny Mora mentioned him one time at Willie's house.
Boy, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about there.
He's all bad.
So, he was a Latino guy. He had a last name Monroe.
Oh, Jamie Monroe.
Jamie Monroe. He started like 8 later after you, right?
Yeah, he was very young, and he was more of he was good MC.
Yeah,
and he knew how to work a crowd.
Yeah, he was hyper.
Yeah, really hyper, and he's still around. I see him on Facebook doing, but he doesn't do stand up anymore. I don't know what he does now, but he's still in the business.
But remember, I see it when I went there when it was Ali Cabaret, and it was like a new owner, like three owners later, and I saw his face, and I saw that one, the guy from Living Colors. There's his photo too. We saw him at 2 a.m. getting a Diet Coke.
Oh, Tommy Davidson.
Tommy Davidson.
Yeah, Tommy was always there.
Probably a kid back then, huh?
Yeah, he was really young.
Well, I thought I saw Tommy Davidson in 1991 at a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, bro, in Pacoima. It was a candlelight meeting, bro. It was one of the. These are weird with Narcotics Anonymous because it's a big round table and everybody has their own little section. but they're all candles. It's lit, like you only when it's time to talk, you light your candle.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and you blow it off, and then somebody else lights it. So it's
interesting. Interesting. I mean, they're narcotics, but really creative.
Those are, they kicked the guy out for lighting down heroin with a little candle.
I get that spoon, huh?
Back in the day, remember when Pacoima had Bloods and Crips.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
So you started right there in 1980?
1980, and then right I started my journey.
Where did you meet Jerry Bednar?
I met him in 81 when he was there was a little club called Comedy ETC down in South Central area.
ETC?
Yeah, Comedy ETC, Comedy Etc. And back when South Central was safe, we used to go down there. I used to go down there and do rooms all the time.
When it was safe.
When it was safe for me.
The townhouse?
Yeah. And that's where I met Jerry, a little club there. I actually replaced him because he was shooting a section of Evening of the Improv, so he had to cancel. And so I took his place, and he showed up later. And we became buddies ever since then, man. Been good buddies ever since then.
Was he the Turban Cowboy back then, or is that after?
After. He became Turban Cowboy about 1985, 86. He started wearing the turban and had the cards, the Turban Cowboy, man. I still call him the Turban Cowboy. And he doesn't wear the turban anymore. Fuck the turban. He's like, fuck the motherfucking turban. I don't need no fucking turban to be funny. So him and I have so many crazy experiences together. Most of them we can't repeat.
So you were working a lot and painting?
I quit painting in 83 because then the comedy boom really started.
Yeah?
Rooms started opening up all over the country. Like Phoenix had four rooms. Seattle had
Zanies?
Rooms. Zanies.
Bob Zaney opened up rooms, right?
Bob Zaney had rooms all up and down the coast.
I think you told me one time when you and I were on the way somewhere that Bob Zaney got so busy booking shows that he had to hire off. He opened up an art studio in the Valley.
He had an office.
With a girl there making the phone calls and doing other bookings.
He was a hustler, man. He's always been a good businessman. So he had rooms all up and down the coast. It was beautiful. Doing these great rooms on the coast, getting paid decent money and partying and... It was a wild time. It was unlike – I didn't expect that. When I got into comedy, I thought it was just going to be telling jokes then going home. I didn't realize it was partying involved.
Yeah, man. Chicks.
Steamy.
Hot and steamy.
Or just hanging out at Denny's, man.
Just going to Denny's with the guys.
It's funny. Like when you're like a young comic, like even if you're doing a show in Visalia or anywhere, you right away know like someone involved with the show told us, man, everybody goes after the club to Denny's at 2:30 in the morning. So go back to your hotel, take a nap, come back, take a shower. Wear the same clothes. Wear the same clothes because you were at the show. I want Larry to tell me one time, bro. Like we were doing a show, and then like there was a bunch of chicks that wanted to take me and these other three comics to go party somewhere. He goes, "Hey, where are you guys going?" He goes, "We're gonna go party with a chick." He goes, "No, man, don't go over there. You go over there, you lose your powers."
Uh-huh.
You gotta stay right here, man. People know who you are. You're like Superman right here, bro. Right. You go over there, bro. You're back to being Jimmy Olsen.
Yeah. Even to this day, I tell the young comics, you got to learn the 30-30 rule. They go, "What's that?" Well, once you have the most clout, the most power, the most charisma, within 30 minutes of getting off stage and within 30 yards of the venue. After that,
like
you lose
bomb.
Your charisma.
I'm going to make a documentary of this shit. Yeah,
it's a nuclear fallout.
It's true, though.
Yes.
Because if the club is across the street from the hotel, you still got a chance to hook up with a chick that works at the hotel room. Because she's staring at that flyer all day, can't even go to the show.
Where's my little star at?
You go in at the end of the show. Like I remember I went with Willie Barcena to Tommy T's.
What's up, bro?
Not Tommy T's. The one, Rooster T Feathers.
Rooster T Feathers.
Hung out all week. Didn't even get a spot.
Damn.
That's how it was back then.
That's determination.
I used to get emails for him, dog.
Bro, it was Tommy T. No, it was Tommy T. Rooster T Feather, okay? This is how I was hosting, bro. Fuck that. I was hosting. I did get a spot. But this is how like, you've been everywhere once. Something over there, bro. The manager likes me. Everybody likes me, bro. The waitress likes me. I'm being cool. I don't even smoke. Bro, I wasn't even drinking, dog. Bro, I was smoking cigarettes, bro. Like an idiot, bro. Normal life. I was out there with a waist ass smoking cigarettes with Willie on stage. Right?
Entertainer now.
I'm chilling, bro, right? I get a call. Hey! Felipe! Hey! I run back inside. He brings me back up. I know I told you the story already, but he brings me back up because he has to take a shit.
Ah! Number two.
Yeah, so he's up on stage 30 minutes in. He called me up. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to bring back your host, Felipe Esparza. So I'm up there, bro. Let me tell you, man, when you're up there, like, especially when you're done, when you're waiting for the next to bring the next person up or he's not there, you really don't know what jokes to tell because you don't know how much time they're going to use to get off the stage. So you're like a warm-up act now. It has to be short. So I'm doing, like, trying to do one-liners and looking over, not to get into a long story. Pretty much not getting laughs for a little while. I'm like, wow, hey, I guess you want to go take a shit, huh? I felt like Kramer when he put on Jerry Seinfeld's coat in the episode.
Oh, God.
Hey.
Cheesing all weird.
Yeah, so he goes back, and then everything's tucked in, you know, for his bugs. So everything's plugged in, and like except his leather jacket. He goes back on. The manager's pissed off, sad.
Did he kill the momentum of the show?
Hell yeah, dog.
Damn.
But we brought the crowd back by bringing up this guy who just turned 21, and they took tequila shots.
So you didn't hook up after that show.
Hell no, nobody.
He had no powers.
Hell no, bro. I was talking to the fat chick that was working in the front desk all week.
Uh-huh.
And she kept going asking me, "How was the show?" It was good, you know. I got a lot of laughs. And he goes, and then like she will call me at my room, bro.
Uh-huh.
So with a lot of people, yeah, a lot of people, man, all weird and shit. So the last night I go in there goes, "Hey, man, I'm doing laundry, man. You know how to fold?" Yeah, meet me at the laundry room. And she fucking turns it off. We'll be right back in 10 minutes.
Oh,
I'm in the laundry room, bro, just doing my laundry, talking, chilling.
Uh-huh.
No sex, by the way. But yeah, man.
That's a crazy.
No, hell no, no sex. But yeah, man. The next day, somebody popped out our tires.
Oh, man.
I was pissed about that show. Interruption. Huh?
Like all our tires. Dog.
Yeah, we all have crazy Willie stories.
Do you think it was a hit on him, though?
I don't know, bro.
My craziest Willie story is when we're up north somewhere doing a gig and
Chilaquiles?
No, it was somewhere out around the periphery of San Francisco, and we're starving and we're cruising into town and we're starving. I go, "Let's stop and get some food." He goes, "I want Mexican food." He wants Mexican.
Always.
Food. I go,
"Have coffee, have milk, dog."
Still. And I'm just saying, let's stop anywhere, man. My blood sugar's dropping. I'm dying.
He's hungry, bro. He's hungry, bro.
When I'm hungry, I get grouchy. So finally.
You get steamy, bro.
Finally, he finds a Mexican restaurant. And we go in. And we're the only ones there. And the owner's waiting on us. He goes, "Oh, thank you. Welcome to my restaurant." And we each order huevos rancheros. He brings the huevos rancheros and sets them down. And Willie goes, "What's this?" And the guy says, "Huevos rancheros." Willie says, "This isn't huevos rancheros." "Well, yes, this is huevos rancheros." "Go, no, I'm from Mexico. This isn't huevos rancheros." The owner says, "I'm from Mexico, and this is where we make huevos rancheros." "No, I'm from Michoacan, or I'm from Guanajuato, or whatever."
Chihuahua,
back
bro.
And forth. They're going back and forth, and I'm going, "Willie, I'm just want to fucking eat." And the owner picks up the plates of food and throws them in the garbage and says, "Get out."
You're lying, dude.
No, I'm not lying. One fucking bit, man. He threw the food in the garbage and said, "Get out." And I look at Will. I go, "You motherfucker, man. I'm hungry." We walk outside. I go, "There's a Subway. That's where we're eating. And don't argue with the owner." That's what we had, Subway sandwich.
This is not Jimmy John's. You call this a torta?
You call this a turkey sandwich?
Argued. Two macho motherfuckers.
I thought it was chilaquiles, bro.
No, it was huevos rancheros.
Because he's used to having the egg over easy on top, and it was scrambled, huh?
I don't remember how they made them because I was so hungry. All I knew was it was food in front of me, and I wanted to eat it.
Why didn't you start eating while they were arguing?
I was too dumbfounded. These two crazy Mexicans arguing with each other. Who's more macho?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I couldn't believe it, man.
That's not how my mom makes them, bro. Dude, I mean, you should trip out on this because this fool, like, he's different where, like, you know, he'll talk shit after we leave, you know.
Oh.
But then that fool would just, like, start mad-dogging and start complaining. And I was like, oh, my God, is this happening here, yeah, dude? Yeah. Were you with us that one time after – it was after the Casa Latina. And he was drunk. And we were buzzed, but we were just, like,
Willie was drunk?
Yeah.
No.
But he's so there was, like, three Mexican dudes straight from Mexico. But, you know, been here for a couple of years. It looked like they, you know, cut grass and stuff. He starts mad-dogging them and asking them if they know how to do karate.
Oh, shit.
No,
I wasn't there for
and
that.
And he starts round, and he starts roundhousing them. And he came in, like, within that far from their face. And we're like, dude. So we just grabbed our burritos and went to go eat in the parking lot. He didn't even eat. It's like, what are you trying to prove, dude?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a million Willie stories. Million, man. None of them end up good.
Didn't he have you make chilaquiles that one time? He didn't like his wife's chilaquiles.
Yeah.
And he came to Felipe's house.
Yeah, the wife made chilaquiles. He didn't like it. He came, bro, teach my wife how to make them.
Oh, God.
Wait, he brought her to your house?
No, like, I had to put on the phone. Oh. But Willie came over and ate
came
my...
over and wanted him to make him some. That crazy.
Yeah, man, I make them with el pato sauce, bro. The only way to make chilaquiles.
The Boyle Heights way.
So they were, that's crazy, man. Was it loud? Was there a lot of people at the restaurant?
No, just us.
Oh, the only ones
in you guys on the way to Monterey, Planet Gemini?
We were on our way to some room in San Carlos. I don't know who owned, who ran it, but it was San Carlos, yeah. That was years, oh, God, 20 years ago.
You used to go, when you were doing comedy, you met Jenny Jones?
I knew Jenny Jones.
You used to go on a road trip with her, right?
Yeah.
You her and Jerry Bednar, right?
We did a gig up the 99 for, what's his name? The Mexican guy up there.
Leonard.
Leonard, yeah.
Damn, he's been around that long?
Yeah, that was like 1985.
Really?
Yeah.
So he booked Jenny Jones in 85?
Yeah.
Was she hot then? Like, was she on a road?
Hot. In what way?
Like in comedy. Like.
No, she hadn't been on Star Search yet.
Oh, not yet?
Yeah, she didn't get hot till after she won Star Search. She was just hot physically then. And everybody was trying to write for her and be friends with her. And she only liked a cute few guys. You know, we did some gigs together. And Jerry was good friends with her. And another guy, John Carfee, used to be buddies with her. But she shot to the top. She was smart because she didn't have a lot of jokes.
No.
She had 15 minutes. And she made it into a career. She got her own talk show. She's living in Encino now, living off her millions. She's happy. But I haven't seen her for 30 years.
That's crazy, man. How Star Search. Did you get on Star Search?
I never got on Star Search, man.
Willie was on it, bro.
He was?
He said he was on it. He got beat by Jeff Brown.
Oh, okay. I don't know if he got on TV. I would have seen. I would have remembered.
Yeah, because it was when the devil did Star Search, and then he was on there after the show. He's like, hey, I was on the real one, bro.
Jeff Garcia was on Star Search, dog?
Yeah, but remember with Lonnie Love, but it was not the Ed McMahon
not
one.
The Ed McMahon. Oh,
don't. And it's other, the, you know, the one
reboot.
That came later.
The reboot, okay.
Yeah. Oh, man. They had the international Star Search, too, with Carlos Alazraki and Jerry Bednar were on the finals.
Wow.
And Jerry won. International Star Search.
Carries all the way from Canada.
Yeah. Oh, man. A lot of crazy memories. A lot of them just blurred and gone. The 80s was kind of a blur.
You said, Willie, you and Willie used to have a sketch group.
Yeah.
At the Comedy Store. You, Cha-Cha Sandoval, and...
Freddie Asparagus.
Freddie Asparagus from... He was in
Denver,
the
right?
Colors, and Willie Barcena.
Oh, no.
There
was one other dude, right?
There was a lot of us, actually.
Yeah.
It was a big group.
So you guys would do sketches?
And we did. Yeah, it was like 1992. And Freddie and Cha-Cha approached me and asked me if I'd want to be involved in it. And I go, yeah, I got to stay in town more. So, yeah, I'll be involved with that. And then Willie got jumped in. And so... We had some great sketches working out for about a year, but then egos took over, and me and Willie and a couple of the others walked away, started our own group, and then that was too much work, man. Having a group is too much fucking work.
Yeah.
And so I go, and you know what? I'm just doing stand-up, man. I can't do the sketch shit. I'm just going on the road.
Willie said that we'll do the sketches, and in between he'll do a stand-up, and Mitzi will get mad.
I don't remember Mitzi getting mad because we both did stand-up. Myself and Willie would both do stand-up in between the sketches, and it always went good. I don't know why she would get mad. But we had some great shows at the Comedy Store.
What's the name of the sketch group?
I want to say Los. We had like two or three names. Los Abstractos. What was the other stupid name?
The elbows, bro.
I can't remember the name.
Steamy Jalapenos. Funny bones.
So long.
Los Huevos
so
Rancheros.
Yeah, I don't remember, man. It's been so long.
Would you guys ever reconnect and bring the group back for
never,
one night?
Not, they,
one night.
Imagine that train wreck.
They called me many
that,
times.
Oh, okay. Called me many Willie pissed off Freddie Asparagus. Freddie Asparagus chased him around the Comedy Store.
No, Freddie Asparagus was one of the reasons we left the group. He wanted to do things a certain way, and we disagreed. And so,
was he a trained actor?
He was a trained actor. He was good
actor. He was in shit, man. He was in Colors. He was in that movie with Robert Townsend.
He was in Havana. He was in Three Amigos. He played the bartender in Three Amigos.
He had a way to talk on TV.
And he had a look. And he had a very funny 15 minutes on stage.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He had a very funny 15 minutes.
He passed away, huh?
Yeah. He died in the 90s of I don't know what. But he was a big guy. And
we'll do something. And
who knows? Something.
How old that
to this day, when I hear somebody say, I don't know, it might be something. I always think of Asparagus.
I've never even seen him do it, man. But I heard it was funny. Like he was like a wrestler, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Somebody would introduce, I'm going to introduce Pampero Firpo. And then.
He's all excited, bro.
And he'd come walking in. Freddie'd come walking in with this look.
All coked out. No.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do, Pampero? What are you going to do on Saturday? I'm going to do something.
A fool would die, dog.
A little something.
And the audience would just die. Right? They'd crack up. Funny time. A lot of crazy shit happening. You know, that series they had on HBO for a couple of seasons about the Comedy Store was very realistic. I'm watching it, and boy, I go, man, I feel like I'm there again.
Yeah, I'm dying up here?
Yeah, I'm dying up here. That was good.
Did you know that guy who committed suicide?
I didn't know him, no. I just knew about it.
Were you there during the strike or was
it
over?
No, I came after the strike. It was over when
So you came when there were pain?
Yeah.
Pain a little bit.
Little. I don't know what they pay now, but they're paying very little then.
I remember Larry Omaha and I, bro. We went to we did a show together at the Improv Comedy Isle.
Oh, wow!
We stood at the Clarion, you and I.
Yeah, wow.
And we never drove, bro. He was headlining. I got $100. 2 nights, happy, bro. A badass room for 2 days. Nice. Him and I walking the strips, bro. At nighttime. Looking for steamies, bro.
Steamies.
So funny, bro. Like there was when I started, there was like still like, I guess I know that there were a lot of gigs available, but there was still some, you know, some to like my rent was not a lot. It was $3.95. But yeah, that was thank you,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
I remember like we just drove, bro, and 2 nights, the Comedy Isle.
Yeah, I remember another time I took Martin and Benny Mena to a gig in Palm Springs. That was a nice gig, nice room. You know, everything was great, great food, you know. Back then, if they fed you, man, that was bonus.
Hell yeah, man. I did a show in Mesquite, Nevada.
Yeah, I did that.
As a casino.
Casablanca.
Yes, it is. And I drove there, and I thought, like, okay, because I thought I was going to be in Las Vegas. I did a personal with it. I thought we were going to go to Vegas. I said it's going to be by Vegas. So go look back and say bye.
So, Vegas adjacent?
Yeah, so man, somebody told me, you know, they said, well, bro, you been like, yeah, bro, let me tell you, man, they got the best coconut shrimp. You ever had coconut shrimp? Never. He goes, well, bro, get ready.
About to eat 1,000 of them.
So, what the fuck you did, bro?
They're bombed.
You did the gig too?
No. I'm just.
Bro, like, they were bad, bro. They were like bad. Oh. And I did the show with an old comic. That comic was Willie's featured act at a show one time, his first time headlining. And that guy was headlining, and Craig Robinson was featuring.
Oh, wow. Craig Robinson, okay. Yeah, it used to be a great. Gig, I used to pay great.
Yeah.
And then some.
Pat Wilson?
Pat Wilson had it. Yeah. She paid us very well, and somebody stole it from her. Another booking agent stole it from her and pays shit money now.
Yeah, man. We know him. He's bald.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Pat Wilson, it's funny, like you never met these people that booked these shows, but you got booked.
Yeah.
Like, Pat Wilson, she will book that show, and she will book little showdown that got booked at China Lake.
Oh, man.
Man. That's where they had the big earthquake last 2 weeks ago. Ridgecrest, California.
I forgot about
China Lake. An hour away from nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You get there, Rand, and the whole city is the Navy base.
That's it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, then you get there, like there's like a guard that lets you in, and there's like on the outside of the, once you drive like a mile and a half in, there's a bunch of houses. I stood at a house where I said, man, I could live here, Ray. I had a living room with a bedroom and a two bath, a yard. And I'm like, wow, man. And then I was there with Annie McKnight, and she was staying at the next house, man. And I could smell the weed, you know. Like, back then, I was smoking drugs. I was like, wow, she's doing drugs over there. And the military, and I was all paranoid and shit. What if the military police come? They're going to take us both. She was all loud.
Annie, wow, I haven't seen her for decades.
Yeah, man, that was a good gig.
Oh.
As far, though.
And we used to do gigs up on top of the mountains above San Bernardino, too, up Arrowhead and Big Bear. They used to have great gigs up there.
Everyone had a room, huh?
Yeah, put you up in the Hilton and treat you good.
What was the worst place you stood at? Where you say, you know what, I'm going to stay in my car.
Well, you know, one of my worst memories is...
Wild Coyotes.
No, that was good memories. Crazy good memories, man. One of my worst shows was about like 1985. The guy from one of the guys from LA Cabaret says, "Hey, there's you want to make $500 tonight?" I go, "Hell yeah!" Okay,
we're gonna kill.
Go to Dodger Stadium at midnight. I go, what? So I'm an idiot and I'm hungry.
Bring your feathers.
Tell jokes for Tommy Lasorda.
I show up. They're shooting a movie. Edward James Olmos, his first big movie that he's producing, and I go, "Oh, Edward James Olmos, man, I want to meet him. Maybe I'll impress him with my skills, my talent."
She was always bio, bro. I'd like to get to carry it.
So I go up to the director. I go, "So I'm the comedian. They said you need a comedian out here. What's the deal?" He goes, "Yeah, you see those 1,000 extras sitting in the stands? Well, when we're done shooting a scene, we want you to entertain them." I go,
"Damn,
what?
That's worth to be an extra."
So...
So you're going to entertain them so they don't get bored.
So they don't get
while
bored.
While they're waiting to shoot the
it's
movie.
Midnight. They've been there all day.
Angry people, too.
Yeah. And underpaid, of course. And so, but Edward James Olmos is the star and the producer of the show. So I go, oh, fuck, I'm going to impress him, man.
Microphone? No microphone.
Microphone. But I stand on the dugout, on the top of the dugout, and try to entertain 1,000 of them. I give them 5 or 6 minutes of my best shit and no laughs. And then they go, okay, Larry, that's cool. We're going to shoot a scene now. And I'm thinking more good jokes. They break. They go, okay, Larry, go back up. I'm up there. No laughs again. Okay, we're going to shoot another scene, Larry. Stop. So I go up and I talk to the guys. I go, what's going on? They go, we've been here all fucking day, Larry. We're not going to laugh at your shit. They've tried 5 other comedians.
You're lying.
Yeah, no, I'm not. So I go back. After the third time, I realized I'm bombing in front of Edward James Olmos. Son of a bitch, man.
It was almost funny.
And so I go up to the director and I say, you know what? This ain't working, man. You don't have to pay me. I'm going home. He goes, no. Here's your $500, man. You know, we've tried other comics. It's okay. No worry. It's okay. So I take the $500 and I go. And I just pray Edward doesn't remember me. That's all I care about. Now, get this. Fast forward 2 years. I'm doing a show downtown L.A. at a theater. I'm killing, man. I get off stage. I'm in the lobby shaking hands, and here comes Edward James Olmos.
Damn.
And he comes right up to me and goes, hey, you're a funny dude, eh? And I go, Edward, do you remember the first time we met? He goes, no. I go, that's good. And I walked away.
Crazy,
oh,
man.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Crazy.
That was my worst night in comedy.
Really?
But I got paid for it, so, you know, that kind of eased the pain.
What are the best gigs, the hardest?
Oh, man. The hardest, yeah, the hardest.
Like, some of the best gigs, they pay the most, are the ones that are give me the biggest heartaches.
Sure, yeah.
Like, I did a show, man, at almost like yours, but at Tropicalia.
Yeah.
And, like...
It was a music festival.
It was a music festival, right? So, you know, they're paying me well. I go to Suit Fellas on Main Street, on Los Angeles Street. And I buy a tux, you know, like be like Elvis, all gold. like a bronze basically. Oh,
God. Bro, nice jacket.
There's a bunch of people, man. Los Tigres del Norte are headlining.
Oh, man.
A bunch of, like, millennials are there and a mixture of old people, you know, like older people, my age people. But a lot of people, a lot of sensitive people.
Oh, so,
sensitive.
Oh, no.
A lot of woke people.
A lot of woke people, right? So I learned a lot of words that I learned a lot of words after that set.
a lot of triggering.
A lot of words, bro. A lot of words I never heard of, bro. Oh. Problematic.
Culture scam. Cisgender.
Star Wars.
Yeah.
Gender fluid.
Gender fluid. All that shit, bro. But you know what? If I would have showed up my check, they would probably want to kill themselves. Bro.
Ah. Good.
I mean, they would have killed themselves, literally.
And it was tough because they kept cutting down the time. They didn't have the time. They had run long.
Up
all day.
25, bro. I ended up doing four.
He ended up doing like 4 or 5 minutes, right? So
wow.
Because they cut it because they were running late with other acts.
Remember right before it went up the first time with the Scam and Jam people and the stage manager? Because he started getting crazy with us. I'm like, listen, man.
Yeah, the stage manager was like rushing them off.
Yeah, they almost got enough. They got in a fight with their people.
Yeah.
They just got them off stage because they were running behind.
Yeah, and he was just like, I'll do whatever. I don't care how much time, whatever. It was just a fun day.
But it was tough
because he did like a few jokes and then they're like, oh my God, he made fun of fat people. Yeah. Shamed.
There was a white dude in the front. They go, wow, man, I'm pretty nervous right now. The only white person here right in the front, man. Somebody frisk him. And right? And it's a fat ass bitch. She's a Latina extra, extra L.
Oh, shit.
She said, you know, he's over there making fun of a white guy that has a gun. Why you be stereotypical? I thought this was a safe space.
Yeah, safe space.
That's what you thought.
Yeah. We need to get a hold of the guy who put this together so we can have a forum and talk about this.
Oh, man.
And I feel bad for these people, you know, because you grew up, you know, you're like under 30 years old, you know. You have so much life to live. Leave me alone, you know. Uh-huh. When you get to my age, you're going to realize it's not worth it.
That's what happens when you're raised
by your
grandparents.
There's bigger battles to be fought. But then you go like to tell them, you know, whatever, you know. But you know, but that was one tough gig, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you're the only comedian on that bill.
The only comedian,
music?
Bro.
That's always hard.
And they billed him as the host, but they didn't have him start until after Chicano Batman had finished. And it was like the night was already, like there were three acts left or two acts.
I had
acts
a joke for every time I brought somebody
crazy.
Up. Get ready for Batman. Okay, Chicano Batman. Hey. But then there was a lot of people that went too long. Not Chicano Batman, but the band before
Café
them.
Café Tacuba.
Yeah.
That guy was up there like.
Yeah. That guy, man, could just, I want to sit in his face and fart in it, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
That guy was wearing like, I don't know, man.
Potato sack.
I know that guy. I know.
Huh?
Is that the right band?
Yeah.
Okay. I got next to the Chicano Batman right here, eh?
I did a show once where it was a real good audience, and I was doing real well. And all of a sudden, Pancho Sanchez decides to start tuning up his instruments during my act.
Oh, the percussionist?
Yeah. I go, oh, man, I like your music, but
God
not
damn,
right
bro.
Fucking now during my act.
It's the thing with comedy and music.
Yeah, it was just weird. It didn't feel like it was... A comedian fit in there in the first place, little dead announcement.
Ready, ladies and gentlemen, are you guys ready for the comedy? You know what I mean?
Right.
They're just waiting for another band, and then this dude comes up in a suit.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, it's kind of stupid.
It was weird. It was
The funniest part of it was when they try to like get culero. Oh. They did it one, and then this fool is on. He stopped and he's all, "Suck my dick,
suck my dick."
And then someone was like this, but dude, the people like, in the front just started busting up because it was so funny, dude.
It was funny, bro. And like, they didn't get it, you know?
They thought they were going to get him because usually
they
it takes
They thought they were going to get me, right? But that was a good one. Not everybody said it. They suck my dick.
Maybe if it was somebody that was inexperienced and didn't have like any chops or something, but it wasn't working.
No, it wasn't working, bro.
And then they went to social media and cried.
I thought about, they went
they
to
cried
go
like
cry.
12 friends.
They went to go cry, and then everywhere my face was somewhere. Like just say they went to go. Eat at this vegan restaurant, so and they posted a photo of me. They went to go talk shit there, but they didn't even tag me, you know, because they're pussies, bro.
Oh,
and some of these people, like, they hang around with people that they never go out and venture out in the world, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're like pretty much like, you know, like some hipsters. They call themselves they're progressive, but they don't have no Latino friends, no Mexican friends, not one Mexican friends. Or these hipsters, these white comics, you know, that they put up these shows. But they never invite a Mexican comedian, you know, like, because we're not in there, you know, they just never, They never think to add one. You know, it's not even in their mind.
They don't think beyond their
circle. They don't think beyond their circle. You know what I mean? And that's the way these people are.
Yeah. Fucking
these Mexicans right here, that's where they are. They don't think beyond their circle. They're never going to reach out and say, oh, you know what? I really love that movie Blood In, Blood Out. Because to them, it's something low.
Yeah, they feel like that's – they call that the old school Chicano. Yeah. They want to separate themselves as new Chicanos against the old Chicanos who they feel are racist or womanizing or whatever. You know?
Yeah,
so
like
they feel
dad.
Like – right. That's the thing. So a lot of these people are raised by – your generation of guys,
and
we'll
talk about that. Like that female comic. What's her name? The one that said that good joke about Triple G or Triple X.
Oh, Dina Hashem. Hashem,
yeah. Good joke, right?
Yeah, it was
hysterical,
funny.
Hysterical, dog.
And Amy Schumer did a joke like that in a rose similar to that joke. She became famous.
Yeah.
Although she got a lot of shit for it too. Yeah.
And so did Natasha Leggero, like a soldier, didn't apologize.
Yeah, I was just reading.
Would you apologize?
I don't.
You ever offended anybody?
I don't think I've ever apologized.
Not even the Eskimos?
No.
Eskimos.
Even when I made fun of the Eskimos, they come up afterwards and loved me. They go, no, man, it's cool, man. I don't. I've never apologized for a joke. And I never will.
You ever been in a show? You ever been in a show that with a headliner and then like, well, just Willie and shit, where like, you know, it's going bad and you're really like warming up the car?
Oh.
Remember?
Oh,
what happened?
What about the time he pulled a girl up on stage and the audience thought he was going to compliment her. Instead, he criticized how fat she was.
Oh, that chick. I remember that shit. No, Willie was on stage.
Good at that.
We were on stage and somehow the show got buck wild where girls just wanted to show their boobs or whatever, their ass, bro. It was like late. And they go, all right, hey, we're going to have a big booty contest. I want a girl to come up on stage with the biggest titties. And this girl just with a girl with big boobs rolled up on stage, and then he goes like, "Huh," right away in front of everybody, bro. And everybody saw him with, "Huh," he's buzzed, dude. Come on, bro. I said big tits, not big face, big ass, big shoulders, big ankles.
He used to do those thumb contests.
And then she poured her beer on him.
And they start throwing chicken wings at him.
Yeah.
Shut up,
audience.
The audience, no. Throwing out
chicken
the audience.
Wings and. He had to be escorted out of the premises.
I mean, no room while coyotes, bro. And then he tried to do that the next week, and then the guys, the managers, said, no, 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 and gave Willie the bucket of money and get out of here, bro.
That's how legends are born, bro.
Too many stories.
And then were you with Willie at the radio disc jockey in Sacramento?
Yeah, up in Sacramento. I was up there. We went up in 2004, and that was going real good. And we were getting a lot of work, and we were getting good ratings, and we were all making good money. But it was tough getting up at 4 in the morning.
For you or for him?
For both of us.
Were you guys living together or you were living separate?
We rented a condo. I lived upstairs. He lived downstairs. And I would go down at 3:45 in the morning, say, Willie, time to get up. We got to go. And sometimes he wouldn't wake up, so I'd have to throw shoes at him. Because if you get too close and try to wake him up, he jumps up and starts throwing karate kicks. He thinks he's got the, what do you call that, PTSD shit.
From what?
I don't know.
From my mom.
From his mom. Yeah, from his mom. And
I need money for books.
So, and I told him, look, man, you can't party here. I'm not a party animal, so you can't have any parties while we're up. And he did pretty good on that. I think he only partied one night the whole year we were up there together. And, but yeah, it was. It's too tough getting up at 4 a.m. It was killing me. And then having to have everything ready. I was producing the show, so I had to have everything ready. Had to have all our topics in line and make sure everybody's doing their job. And it was fun but hard.
So you did most of the work.
I did a lot of the work. He sat there drinking coffee and making smart-ass remarks on the radio, and that's it.
So we didn't learn how to work the board?
No, we had a guy work on the board. I couldn't work that fucking board, man. Yeah, it's too many buttons.
Especially at a radio station, man.
Too many buttons, man.
A little engineer.
But that was a good year. I made a lot of connections, and it enabled me to really push myself up, higher up the ladder. So it was rough, but it was worthwhile for me.
When did you meet Willie?
I met him 1991 at Shout. In Covina, there was a nightclub called Shout.
Shout, I remember that shit.
And Jack Benson used to book comedy there.
Jack Benson.
Black dude. And one night, I'm on stage doing my 45 minutes, and I get off, and this
little Mexican kid goes, hey, hey, I want to be a comedian. My name's Willie. I want to be a comedian. I want to be a comedian.
Never heard that story, bro.
And I go, yeah, 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 that's good, that's good. Get out of my way.
I got to go to Dodger Stadium, man.
Who are they wearing, bro?
I don't remember.
The Disco Willie back then?
I don't remember what he was wearing. Because he was just annoying.
It's funny because I can't picture that fool like that.
And so,
oh my God.
After about a half hour, he comes back again. I'm talking with some friends, and he comes out, hey, hey, my name's Willie. I want to be a comedian, and I want to do what you do. I go, that's good. Yeah, that's good. Go find some open mics. And and I pushed it. I got him away. He got away from me. And then 2 or 3 weeks later, Freddie Asparagus and Cha-Cha call me to do the gig, to do the sketches. And who's where? Who's there also? Willie Barsan. So we met again. And he goes, hey, remember me? I met you at the Shout. I go, yeah, yeah, I remember you. And so after we talked about the sketch group with Freddie and what's the certain man? Cha-Cha. Willie says, you want to go shoot some pool? I go, yeah. So we go next door, shoot some pool. And he goes, you want to shoot for money? And I'm thinking, oh, this poor guy. He don't know what he's walking into.
He's a ball gangster, huh?
Looking in with a fucking...
So we shoot pool. I take all his money. He's all depressed.
He took my... money, bro.
You're a pool shark, right? You're professional.
Well, I can play. You know, I can play. I don't. And
if it was full stage, well, you think this bag right here is for my jokes? Did you get scared when you started putting your pool stick together?
I didn't even have my stick with me, man. It's in my car now, though. But no, that's how I met him. So that's when I met. And then after that, he kept saying, "I want to be a comedian." I go, "Wait, okay. Here's what you got to do," you know, and. You know, he did it. To his credit, he did it. And he bugged me enough that eventually, you know, I helped him with his jokes. And, you know, he became successful, you know. And the only thing that held him back was his problem areas, you know. But he was a funny motherfucker, man.
He said that when back in the day, you were the only one that had 45 minutes out of all the Latinos that were around.
I worked a lot. I was working a lot, yeah. I had a solid 45 and... I was working all the time. But, you know, that's what I thought you're supposed to do is work, you know, write every day and then go out and work at night. A lot of comics, I don't think they do that anymore. They try to get friends on social media and instead of writing jokes.
And when did Latino comedy start becoming a thing?
Early 90s.
Paul Rodriguez at the Laugh Factory?
No, it was... Boomer Cervantes started, he was a DJ, and he started hosting nights at the Laugh Factory. His nights at the Laugh Factory really started things going for the Latino comedians. And then it came out of the woodwork, man, like cockroaches. Really? That's what I meant. You and all the other guys, Gilbert and... you know how I met Rudy Moreno?
How?
He calls me up. He goes, hey, is this Larry? I go, yeah. I got your number from somebody else. I need a comedian to work with me at Cal State LA. Pay a couple $100s. And I go, okay. So I show up, meet Rudy Moreno for the first time. He goes, how should we do this? I go, well, you should go up and do your 15 minutes, and then I'll close with 45. He goes, no, I think you should go up first. I go, this guy doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about.
One guy doesn't want to play pool.
So I go, okay, he doesn't know what he's doing, but I'll go up and do my 45. I go up and do my 45.
You did 45 before him?
Yeah.
God. Oh, my God. I would have went home.
I have a,
the wizard went out, dog.
This fool just put out his own bear trap. He said his own bear trap and then sat in him.
Yes.
That he ego, said his own bear
trap. Oh, my God. What happened?
So I do my 45. I say, okay, now here's Rudy Moreno. He goes up and he does, I swear to God, I'm not exaggerating, 2 knock-knock jokes. And then he goes, thank you and good night. And that was it, man. He
reversed host.
So he told me later on, he goes, you know, I've been doing comedy for about a year, but I don't think I've really been doing comedy. I don't know what I've been doing. And
collecting checks.
Collecting checks.
Hype man.
So that was serious? That's how I met him.
So that guy never did open mic or what?
He never did any of that. No, I think what it was he had a band and he was a DJ. So he would maybe do jokes when he was doing being a DJ. And
then he had somebody tell him, you should do comedy.
Exactly. Full time.
Exactly.
And then the crazy thing is, I was supposed to get a check from a third party, and I never got my check. And I kept calling the guy for my money. And I told Rudy, hey, this guy hasn't paid me. What's going on? He goes, oh, well, I got paid. I go, well, I haven't. So a year later, I see the guy at the at the Laugh Factory. And he comes up to me and he apologizes. He goes, hey, I know I'm supposed to pay you so much money. I'm going to give you double because you had to wait a year. So he gave me double what he was supposed to pay me. And Rudy found out I got double and he got pissed off.
Damn, so he's always a haggler, huh?
So what happened? He didn't get money?
So I got my money.
Rudy got double. Mad because he got double.
Because I got double, but I had to wait a year to get my money.
He did 2 minutes, fool.
He did 2 minutes.
He wanted a check per knock-knock joke.
That's my Rudy story.
So what's your childhood? What's your background? What made you want to get into comedy? Like, that's a stretch.
My childhood friends always looked to me to make them laugh, but I never thought of myself as a comic. I would always do impressions of Muhammad Ali and Richard Pryor and Bill Cosby, but I never thought of myself as a comic. I was just being goofy. And so then I go to college. By some miracle, I go to college, and I take a speech course, and all my speeches come out funny. And so the teacher says, you know, you're more stand-up comic than a public speaker. So she planted the seed. So from that point on, I go, okay, I'm going to become a comic. So from college is when I decided I was going to become a comedian. And I even went to law school, but I said, ah, fuck law school, man. I want to be a comic.
How deep did you get into law school?
I did my first year, and it was just too boring. And it just, I go, I can't do this, man. I was writing jokes about the professor.
Now, with everything going on with him in the news, do you still do the Bill Cosby impression?
No, I don't.
Well, that's when you do the Bill Cosby impression. I didn't even know.
I never even seen
1970.
Do it right time. Now.
Do you know that I don't do a good impression of Bill Cosby?
How about Richard Pryor?
You want some new pussy? It's right here, motherfucker.
All right. So you give us to Rudy Moreno, bro.
Hey, I want to get paid double too, man.
So Rudy never did like open mic?
Not that I'm aware of.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Brown privilege, bro.
No, he was a DJ, and he was doing – so I assume that's where he did his jokes while he was DJing.
So wait, who gave him the title of Godfather Comedy? Isn't that –
himself, dog.
Is that how that works?
Self-proclaimed.
I don't know. Maybe himself. Maybe gave to
we got
to
give ourselves titles here, guys.
Yeah, I don't know where that title came from.
He did win the best Latino comedian at the Laugh Factory. They had a contest, and it was I don't know who voted though. Right,
corruption but, involved, huh?
But I don't even know what the prize was. But he got some money and then a Friday spot that he couldn't do because he was at the casino.
Oh,
but there was never another one, so he kept the title.
LA's funniest.
Yeah, and the runner up was Juan Villarreal.
Juan Villarreal.
What's up, fool, man? So you have shows coming up?
I'm heading out to do a cruise ship on Sunday. Flying up to Alaska, do an Alaska run on a Norwegian cruise line, man.
Oh, man, speaking of cruise ship, man, we did, him and I knew we did Latino Comedy Jam or Get Locos together.
Yeah.
All right, and it was fucking hilarious. Carlos Oscar, after he does a killer 45, he always closes with a bat. Like, he swings a bat. Yeah. Like an imaginary bat.
Yeah.
So I'm in a fucking show with him, and we're closing out the show, and what's his name doing the bat at the end of the show? And this was on the side of him with a fake poo stick.
Yeah, baby. I got to break the rack.
Fucking died, man. Because it was one of those jokes that, you know, if you know him, you get it. If you don't, fuck you, you know? But it was funny because he's like this with a cue stick. So did you do the Stand Up Revolution?
Yeah, I did Stand Up Revolution. We shot it the first season, yeah. And I give I got to give Gabe a lot of credit because Comedy Central did not want me on that show.
But he put you on.
But Gabe insisted.
Because I know there was other people that couldn't get on also, like Joey Coco. And then there was Lunel.
They had to make a special dirty one.
Yeah. Yeah, they did.
So they didn't want you on. Why? Because they didn't like your comedy?
They never gave specific reasons why they didn't like me. I think it's because they wanted younger faces, man.
You should wear a sweater, bro. It's funny when younger face it, but you know the younger people are not funny.
Yeah, yeah, but that's it exactly. Man. But I know that
when you were young, when you were like in your 20s, people say, "Give me a young comic." There were so many funny ones, you know. There were a lot more younger, funnier people when you were coming up.
Yeah, right? There were a lot of them. There were a lot.
Because I know when I started doing stand-up comedy, look for somebody who's funny in their 20s. I know there was me, but not that many.
Right.
But now, man, everybody, you could just you could pick a lot. There's a lot of people to pick from.
The younger comics back then were funny because we did it the right way, man. We were going out every night, hitting open mics every night, man, hustling. I don't know if it's like that anymore. Because you see so many young comics today on stage, you just, you know, it's not funny.
One time Willie told me that, "Hey, bro, I learned comedy from Larry, bro. He charged me."
I had to charge him, and he was wasting all my time,
I'm
man.
Serious. People don't even know that, man. Like, they call me up. How can I get started? And sometimes, man, like, either Lisa emails them back. But, you know, man, now I just tell them, listen, man, Google. I send him a link.
There's so much information.
I send him a link to where to start comedy. But see, they don't want to learn how to do comedy. They want to know there are a secret way to get where you're at right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's impossible, bro.
Exactly.
I mean, it took me like 20 years to get here. Yeah. And it's going to take you like a long time, bro. Like, what do you? Like, I don't have the time to ask him. Do you have a wife? Yeah, okay, that right there is going to slow you down. Do you have children?
Oh.
That's going to slow you down too, bro. Unless you started off with all that stuff, you're never going to know how to have a wife, how to have a kid. Like Eric Rivera, he recently got married. Now he has two kids.
Wow.
But would that would have been tough to start out with a family?
Oh, yeah, with a family. You can't do the open mics. You can't do the scene. You can't hang out. That's wow. Most of
you look
comedy.
So young. You look like you're 20. How old are you?
I'm going to keep it there.
20 years old, man.
37, yeah, man.
Jesus
Christ. He's fighting roles with Martin Rizzo, bro. He looks better than fucking Johnny Rocket, bro.
Oh, man. Yes.
So, yeah, man. So, like, when you started off, you were single as hell,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I was single. I was right out of college. And I just started doing the open mic scenes in New York. And I was doing three, four shows a night and just running the scene.
Where'd you start off at in New York?
In New York, the first couple, there was, like, bars and stuff, like the Park Lounge. I did Hamburger Harry's, which was in Times Square.
Damn.
Yeah, this lady, Gladys, she used to run it. She's still in New York. Like, she's been around forever. And then started doing comedy clubs and, you know, just going through the whole scene.
Yeah.
Is it tougher over there, you think, to start off? Are there more rooms?
I think it's easy. I hear the stories. You guys are telling, like, your stories are more like the New York scene where there was a lot of clubs you went, you did the open mics. And now I hear people who are starting out here is like, oh, you get up on stage for 2-3 minutes, which in New York you do 5-7. I don't know how you grow in 2-3 minute spurts.
Yeah. I know, man. The comedy is till they give you 3 minutes till they make you pay regular. Then you get a regular spot. You do 15.
Yeah.
And back then it was like the improv was paying, but it was a little bit, bro.
Yeah.
$20.
They have not changed the price.
Still, yeah.
And they take taxes away.
They're taking taxes.
But up for inflation.
Bro, we had just the other day, my penis was orange. You ever worked with him?
I've never worked with him. We shot a TV show together. We did one of those stand-up shows
Comedy
together.
Comedy Compadres? Were you on that show?
I think it was Comedy Compadres.
You did Comedy Compadres with Jeff Valdez?
I did two of those episodes.
You auditioned?
No, I didn't
audition. What were the auditions for that? Like, I felt all late and shit, like Willie Barcella trying to get on the show.
But they didn't call me.
Well, that goes way back. That was like 92.
Really? That was at KTLA. How did Jeff Valdez pull that off?
I don't know. He just showed up into town. All of a sudden, he's producing two comedy shows, a couple comedy shows.
I did his show in 96, Latino Laugh Festival. That was the best time of my life, man. First time flying, first time on TV, first time lost.
Lost.
I didn't even know how to fly, bro.
Oh, man.
I didn't even know. I can't even tell you how I got to the airport, who drove me.
Who hosted?
My show was hosted by Paul Rodriguez.
Oh, wow.
And the bigger show was hosted by Cheech. And Greg Giraldo and John Mendoza were on that show.
Oh, wow.
I was starstruck. Like, all these comics, but I only knew two of them.
Uh-huh.
Like, I knew Greg Giraldo, but I didn't know him. But I knew Paul Rodriguez. And John Mendoza, I knew from television. So uh-huh. I acted like I knew him.
Right.
You know who was on my episode?
My name, Jose Jimenez.
Shut up.
Yeah, because Jeff wanted him on.
The Jewish guy.
Yeah, Jewish guy who did the Mexican character.
That was the only line, huh? My name is Jose.
Well, no, he had a whole bit that went with it, you know, but it was all stupid.
I used to think that dude was Mexican, dude. That's fucking crazy.
Well, that's
crazy.
Yeah, I know.
Isn't that nuts?
Yeah, I
it's
know.
Like the everybody, dice man, everybody huh? He's thought. Italian. He's yeah. Jewish.
Back then, bro, you can play a Mexican, but you just can't be Mexican.
Right.
So you were Willie? Yes, you charged Willie because he was like calling you all the time.
Yeah, he was at my place all the time, man. You know, and it was I didn't charge him that much, like $25 an hour. You know.
Fuck, all that money back then.
And I was fixing his jokes. I mean, I helped him fix a lot of jokes and showed him how to write, you know.
Zipper in the back.
Yeah. Zipper in the back. And, you know, it was just a couple of years, and then he was on The Tonight Show. So
I remember that one time you wrote down all my jokes for me. Willie paid you.
I remember, yeah.
I don't know where it is, but I had that shit folded up 10 times, and I would write jokes on the back of the thing. Because I met Jerry Bednar at a show, and like, we were just chilling. And then like there was a bunch of flyers, you know, for Jerry Bednar and a bunch of other people, right? And more. I was part of the and more.
Yeah.
How when you first started off with a comedy show, you know, people don't understand that, bro. Salud. Like, now they put the whole world in that fucking flyer, bro.
Right.
You know? Like, they put, first of all, they add credits that nobody was on, there were no credits of people that were never on, like Tonight Show, Last Comic Standing, but don't know about the Last Comic Standing on that show. And the whole world is on it, bro.
Yeah.
Back then, bro, it was only one dude on it, Jerry Bednar, and then the rest.
Et cetera.
So anyway, Jerry Bednar, like, I had a notepad, right? And then, like, he was taking all the flyers. Like, what are you taking all the flyers? They showed me he told me his set list, and his set list was from a flyer from another show from 3 years ago, bro.
Uh-huh.
So he takes all, he uses the flyers, the back page to write down his jokes.
Recycling.
Oh wow!
For years, I tell you, he has a whole stack at home right now, still of LA Cabaret flyers. He goes, I still got plenty of writing material. I got lots of writing paper. He's never bought
actual paper.
Actual paper.
Resourceful as fuck.
I got to tell you another story about him. So one day he goes, hey, Larry, are you going to the Comedy Store tonight? I go, no, I don't have a spot. He goes, I go, are you going? He goes, I don't have a spot, but I'm going down there. I go, well, you're just going to go hang out? He goes, yeah, I got to do something. So he said, I'll pick you up. So he picks me up. We go down the Comedy Store, and I'm walking behind him, and he goes, walks into the kitchen, walks over to the where they keep the boxes of Equal. Takes two big handfuls of Equal, puts them in his pocket, says, okay, we can go home now. He goes, she doesn't pay me enough. I got to make up for it somehow. God. Love that bastard.
Jerry Bennett told me that. I don't know if you told me or Jerry Bennett told me that they were at movie theaters and there was a comedy you guys know doing a porno.
Oh, I never was there, but Tyler Horn. Tyler Horn. He told me about Tyler Horn. Oh, God, that'd be gross. I would hate to see him in a porno. Although I've done pornos, I did a porno.
You were in a side.
Yeah,
no way. Mixing cocktails, right?
Bartender.
No,
well, you were like a bartender.
I owned a shop. It wasn't a bar. I owned a shop, and the sheriff comes in and talks to me because he wants to find out who he wants information. Thinks I can help him, and I'm in my shop. I own a shop, a gift shop. And then
the
second
storyline in the porno.
The storyline in the porno is. My friend, my Indian friend, gets his picture taken, and from that point on, he feels like the camera stole his machismo, and he can't make love anymore.
Oh my God, that's a deep story for a porno.
I know. And so,
film.
And so, long story short, by the end of the film, I'm doing I'm in front of a campfire, and I'm doing a ceremony to help bring back my friend's machismo. And so they flash back between me doing the ceremony and my friend making love to his woman and my face and then ass. My face and ass. But
I saw this guy at Dodger Stadium, man.
He's funny.
But the craziest thing is how many phone calls I got from people saying, Larry, me and my lady were in bed last night watching this porno. We're getting all hot and excited, ready to go at it. But then your face shows up.
Yeah.
Like the Wizard of Oz.
Did you put that in your reel?
You know what? It's not in my reel, but it should be.
This guy can act. Look at this.
Look at him, man. He brought some of his machismo back. That's some powerful shit. Oh, well, that's one of the best jokes in my set list, man. Talking about the porno movie.
Comedy Compadres, bro.
Oh, old man. School,
then Jeff Valdez did another one called Comedy on the Road.
I didn't do that.
I didn't do that either. No. I only did the one in 96 and local. He did another one. He didn't do Latino Comedy Jam. Funny is funny.
Funny is funny. Oh, that's right. I did Funny is Funny. I forgot about that.
Besides Byron Allen, his shows have always paid me checks in the end.
Yeah.
Like when his show went into CBS, somebody called Astra. Yeah. Man, they were showing all the Funny is Funny and all the Latino Laugh Festival shows on CBS at 2 in the morning. Bro.
Oh, boy.
They were on from 2 to 3 for a whole month. And finally, somebody called Astra. And me and Gabriel, Gabriel first got a fat check. And I was like, fuck, yeah, guess I'm not going to get one. You know, I don't have a manager to call anybody with my money. But, man, later on, I got a check for $1,700.
Yeah.
Damn. Oh, wow.
Sweet. And then I got another for $700, another $500. And that's how I got to my Montero. I bought me a truck right away, dog. Fuck that. This money might not come again.
Well, the great thing about doing the Comics Unleashed early is it was after. It was union.
Yeah.
So you got good money. Now and then later
it's
on.
It's not anymore?
Later on, I heard it went way down.
Well, even union, even scale for union went down.
The scale,
guest stars and stuff.
Yeah,
the
guest star role is nothing now.
Yeah.
You get paid just as much as you do to do a Saturday Night Tonight Show, $1,000.
It's about 15, I think, for most scale.
I'm sure you still get checks. I get checks now for like 6 cents, 10 cents all the time.
3 cents.
All the time. It's crazy. Crazy.
So you're doing the cruise ship?
Been doing cruise ships for a while, man. It's a good gig. It's a good gig for me.
I saw you in a picture with a bunch of Asian women that were working on the boat.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Asians love me on the ships, man. You know, they all think I'm Asian. So I go, well, I am.
I saw your picture with a bunch of them, man.
I met her on ship. I've been dating her for how long now?
Your little castaway, huh?
5 years.
Tight.
Long time. I should say she picked me up. She stalked me. She got me. After a show, was it the 30 for 30? Was it
the 90 Day? Was it the show 90 Day Fiance here? Love that show.
Yeah, so I do those. I do those, and still do a casino here and there. And but pretty much
with Gabriel too, right? Every once in a while,
I worked Gabriel a lot a few years ago.
You went to Europe, no, Saudi Arabia.
Went to Europe.
Like,
Saudi Arabia was really fascinating.
What was the crowd like? Two lines?
It was when you open the curtains and you see all the men on this side and all the women on this side all covered head to toe. That was mind
jokes, huh?
Man. No jokes about them. I do a joke about Michael Jackson talking to God, and that pissed him off.
That really? Got you banned,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I heard about that. You got in trouble almost. Yeah. They want to send your ass back.
Yeah.
I think I even told her Martin. I don't know who told us.
The prince comes running backstage. He goes, Larry, you cannot do the joke about Michael Jackson talking to God. I go, why not? He goes, we do not talk to God. We do not know what God sounds like. I said, okay, I won't do the joke anymore. But if you wonder what he sounds like, he sounds like me. That's funny. But don't do it on stage. Yeah, so
so what did Gabriel have to do?
Nothing. I just quit doing that joke.
So there
was no problem.
But you can't talk about, so I went on a date, right?
Yeah, you can't talk about dating, right?
Like I would change it around.
Unmarried.
So I'm out with this woman, right? And his mom and his aunt are with me, annoying me the whole time.
But Saudi Arabia was amazing because they
clean or dirty?
Clean. Yeah, they didn't want you to get too raunchy. But they understood everything. They understood the nuances. And that was, you know, they're all educated over there. You know, how many Americans would understand comedy in two languages?
Zilch.
And then we did Europe. We did a lot of cities in Europe, Amsterdam. We went
smoking the weed out there?
I ate some edibles. Yeah, I'm not into smoking the weed. But that was fascinating. They understood all the jokes. They laugh bigger than Americans do. They laugh louder than Americans do. And so that was a great experience. Iceland, Finland.
I heard that Finland, they love comedy there.
They loved comedy.
I think Paulo Francisco went there twice, and he burned himself out there.
Yeah, he burned himself out.
You got to go there once a year, not twice a year, huh?
Once a year, and they want you to have a lot of new jokes when you go back.
You remember everything, huh?
Yeah.
What was it like, though, to be in Finland? Because I know it's cold as fuck.
Yeah, we were there when it was cold. We tried walking around.
Fuck.
We walked about two blocks and go, okay, we've seen it. Let's go back to the hotel. It was cold.
How cold was it?
It was
in Omaha.
Too cold, man. None of us were prepared for it. We just had jackets. You know, we didn't have big leather jackets or anything. We just had jackets. So, but you got to go. If you haven't been, you got to go, man.
When did you meet Jeff Garcia? What up, Doug?
At one of the Laugh Factory Latino nights.
You were wearing a leather jacket.
Who's wearing a leather jacket that said, what did it say?
La Puente Bad Boy.
La Puente Bad Boy.
Just for you to have a leather jacket, bro. Like a dice man.
Yeah.
With studs, bedazzles.
How old was he?
Bad Boy. He was 16, 17 years old.
16 or 17 years old.
Oh, wow. How old was he when he stepped on the Dice Man boot at the Comedy Store?
Nobody saw it, bro.
But, I mean, he was so damn confident at 16, man. And, you know, it was what ridiculous. Ridiculous shit, man.
Confident, huh?
Ridiculous.
I would make 10 G's, Doc. I'm only 17, Doc.
What have you done, Doc?
And I heard he used to make fun of Dr. Ken.
Ken, yeah.
Because he said, I make more money than you. I'm an uneducated comedian. I make more money than you. Well, that was back in the day, maybe he did. But
not anymore.
Not now, Doc.
Dude, how could you just brag like that? Like an idiot,
bro. I don't know. He was always like that, dude.
And now he's running around with a picture of a little dead girl.
Begging for dollars after comedy shows.
I saw a billboard with him. He's got a YouTube show.
Yeah.
That's what I'm pretty sure it was him.
I think he gets a special deal on that billboard.
Okay. it's a friend of a friend.
Behind a bill. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That's what the fundraising was for.
Somebody said that he also told Bobby Lee that.
Who did?
The devil.
Oh, really? Oh, my God.
Oh, man. So many crazy.
What was that comedian name? They used to have the joke about being in Vietnam, Raul something.
Raul Martinez?
Raul Martinez, yes.
Big tall.
Yeah, he was tall.
You know, I don't know.
They got into a minute. One time he was talking shit about Paul. Not talking shit about Paul. But remember, he told his clothes and said, yeah, Paul G said he was going to help me. And then Paul G was in the show, bro, that day.
Well, he worked for Paul, I don't know in what capacity.
I know, me neither.
For a short while. So Paul tried to help him.
Smoked a lot of weed, huh?
I don't know what. I don't know. But and then Raul just disappeared.
He was funny, though.
He was crazy. He was crazy. And then all of a sudden he just disappeared. I don't know where he is now.
The Frankie Carrasquillo.
Frankie went back to New York.
Yeah. He wrote a play. Because I saw, what's her name, bro, at the show. I did a Spanish show, and she showed up. The girl that he used to hang around with, the blonde Cuban woman. Francis.
She
had cancer, right?
Francis Franco.
Franco. That's all
DeFranco.
Franco.
Right?
Yeah.
Katie DeFranco. Something like that.
No, not that one.
Not that one?
That's the one. Katie, like, the one that does her shirt like this.
No, that's
right?
DeLorenzo.
Oh, DeLorenzo.
But that other, I know the one you're talking about, she always used to pull up with him in a Beamer at the Laugh Factory.
Yeah.
She was like Cuban.
White. Katie Franco.
Katie Franco.
Yeah. I haven't seen her for a long time.
Bro, remember that fucking the top 50 Latino list? People see that list now and they get mad, bro. They say that, no, bro, that shouldn't be right there. Or they see the new list and they say that this person should be on it.
And why would they even have a list? You never had a list of top 50 Jewish comics.
Never.
That's crazy, dude.
Top 50 regular white comics.
For us to keep fighting each other, eh?
Always making up lists of shit to cause trouble, man.
Mercedes.
Who started that list?
Mercedes. John Mercedes.
Yeah, probably. But there was another comedian, though, that was editing that list, too.
Yeah, Joy Medina was here telling us that he was working on that list, too, with him. He was throwing them names.
Yeah, he was number 15.
He was number 15. I was number 49. I was happy, bro.
Rodrigo, you on that list? I'm not on that list.
It was like a long time before you got to.
Yeah, it was also only people that LA Comics knew.
Yeah.
That are people that got deals. Because what's his name? That owns a Ventura Harbor with, what's his name?
Andres.
He was on it. It's like, really, bro?
Joey Medina.
What's the name of his partner?
Randy Lubitz.
Randy Lubitz.
You work with him, right?
I work with Randy. I've known Randy forever.
He used to have that Caro's room, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And
he looks like he'd be a manager at Caro's.
Step on those big old shoes.
Coming down on all the waiters for not trying
hard
enough.
So many memories. You guys were dredging up all these memories I tried to forget.
It was crazy. The first time I saw you guys together, You and Willie? I thought you were his dad, and I thought Felipe was Willie's cousin. Yeah. That's what it seemed like, because everybody had the black leather jackets. You know what I mean? Everybody had like a little earring.
Yeah.
Those big, like Italian dudes.
Yeah,
that's what it looked like. It was trippy.
They went in his family and got three for one.
For the devil.
You know, the double breasted. Yeah.
Jeff Garcia had the leather jacket and the leather beret, bro, to the back. And then one day, Gabriel Iglesias showed up all late with a leather jacket. It was too big, bro. And a hoodie, bro. And when he started breaking down the jacket, bro, like he was like a fucking army sergeant, bro. All right, dog. You got to get rid of that hoodie, bro. Who the fuck wears a leather hoodie in L.A., dog? Bro, your fucking belt, bro. What do you want a belt for, bro? You're going to tie it up, dog? He had a belt. He took the belt
like
away.
You guys are like the ugly stepsisters in Cinderella tearing apart her dress.
He took the hat, and then he took the leather jacket. And then he gets on stage, and then Willie goes and makes fun of his jacket still, bro. He goes, man, how many cows were killed for that jacket? I smell a hoof. And then he said that, then Gabriel was kind of buzzed with like four chicks all over him. And he said, hey, Willie was definitely saying, hey, bro, be careful, dog. Those chicks don't really like you, bro. They're going to take your jacket and make four mini skirts.
Oh, shit. They want to get let anybody get any shine with the chicks, huh?
What's your Instagram or Facebook? You
know, Larry Omaha. I'm Larry Omaha.
Larry Omaha. Eric.
Eric Rivera Comedy. All right.
Any shows coming up?
Yeah, I'm going to be in Fort Worth this weekend for people watching
Hyenas.
Live. Hyenas.
Órale.
Yeah, and then 2 weeks after, I'll be going to Plano Hyenas as well.
Plano Hyenas. You done Hyenas?
I've never done Hyenas. No.
Me neither, man.
No. It's it's probably because I always go. I played Coyotes, so they won't put me at Hyenas.
Well, Coyotes. You done Laughs, right, in Arizona?
Yeah.
Remember that shit, bro?
No, yeah.
That was the people. We have Fred Stoller here, right?
Oh, man, Fred.
Yeah.
He's been on several times.
He's been here several times. Do some Fred, bro.
Hey, how you doing, Larry?
Old school, man.
That fool on the show, he was telling about his experience at Laughs, at the headliner. He goes, he didn't know that the manager and the last headliner was staying in the green room still. Did you stay in that green, that condo?
I stayed in the condo.
And they had a waitress living there, too?
Not when I was there, but I stayed at a place, a condo in Houston, where one of the waitresses would come from the club every night to hang out, and then she'd sleep on the sofa in the condo. And I'd go, what's going on with this woman? What's she want?
I had sex with her, bro.
Well, I didn't.
Neither did I.
But get this. So none of the comics messed with her because she's just too freaky. When we get back to L.A., all of us got letters from her telling us a sad story how if she just had like $2,000, her and her mom could – get a place to live. So she was setting us up.
Damn.
Damn.
Just setting us up. Damn, wow. Waitresses. Can't trust them.
We have Ricky Dana here.
In Sub Store.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, we had him on the show. We had him and Byron Keith.
I remember Byron.
He's a chef now.
Really?
Yeah. Has a cooking show with his brother.
With the cooking brother, yeah. And
wow.
Then we have Ricky Dana here. He was crazy. He was a good show.
Byron used to come to my house, and I'd work with him on his comedy. He go, I can't pay you till tomorrow because my disability is going to come in till tomorrow. I go, what's a disability? I didn't know what disability was. He goes, you don't know what disability is, Larry? Shit, half the comics in L.A. are on disability. I go, how does that work? I didn't know anything about that shit.
Fake an injury,
yeah.
Hit that workman's comp.
Anyway. What's up, fool? Upcoming shows this Friday, July the 26th. I'm going to be in Tucson. At Sahuarito Desert Diamond Casino.
All right.
Monday, July 29, Spanish show, San Diego at the Comedy Palace. Killeen, Texas, August 1st through the 3rd at Twice as Funny Comedy Club. Anybody who lives near Waco, Texas, this is your chance to go see me at a comedy show. Also, Fort Hood, shout out to Fort Hood. Come to the show, man. We need people, man. We got like, 45 tickets sold for Friday. Naples, Florida. August 9th through the 11th, Off the Hood Comedy Club with Mr. Captain Brian in the house. San Jose, August 16th. McAllen, Texas, August 23rd. Lubbock, Texas, August 24th. And Philadelphia, PA, August 30th, September 1st at Helium's Comedy Club. Fool. Rodrigo, what's up?
August 13th, Viva Valos Jokes in Riverside,
Viva Valos Jokes. Who's doing that show?
Life Arts Building with Felipe Esparza, Martin Rizzo, Luz Pasos.
All Spanish. Spanish?
All Spanish. All Spanish. Oh,
you done a show before at the joke place?
No, huh? But years ago at the Ice House, we did a show. I was hired to do a show in Spanish. I go, I don't speak Spanish. They go, well, we'll pay you $1,000 if you do. I go, how much time? 5 minutes.
Órale.
So I learned 5 minutes. I had two coaches. And I go up, I do my show, I get big laughs, and I go, I got bigger laughs in Spanish than I did in English with those jokes. They go, they weren't laughing at the jokes, they were laughing at your accent. They were laughing at me.
What's up, Larry Omaha? Go get it. Go to a cruise ship and go watch Larry Omaha.
Yes, before. If you're in Alaska, just jump on the cruise ship. I'll get you on.
And if you're a young comic, don't be hitting him up. He charges you $75.
Yeah, inflation.
Omaha's finest.
I remember, before you go, I remember looking at Willie's jokes, and it was all your writing all the time.
Yeah.
Like, but one thing I learned about him and Willie and you is that you got to go over your set. And a lot of people don't like doing that no more.
Yeah.
Like, even the big comics, like, I watch this comic, like, going to go, oh, man, I can't even do this. I don't know how people do this. Well, you got to do it, eh? Like, did you go? I still listen to my sets. Even if I do an hour, I still listen to it, like, I smoke a lot of weed, bro, so I got to remember something, you know? It's my job.
Yeah.
You still go over your sets sometimes?
Yeah, I record them all on the phone. I put them on the phone,
man. I got 100 sets right here.
I got them right here, too,
bro. Record
them
all, man, and a lot of people don't do it. I don't understand how they grow. How do you grow?
I know, man. Like, I listen to my sets sometimes. Oh, wow, am I fucked up right
now?
This is where I lost the crowd. And I said hello.
Bart didn't finish the hello. Punchline.
You turned on me.
They were too woke.
Okay. What's up, fool? Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you, brother.
Larry Omaha in the house.
Always nice to see you, man.
Steamy.